cliffcentral.com.
Good morning. Hello. It is the 3rd of September.
Yes.
Fantastic. Hello, my name is Ben Karpinski.
I had to think about that for a second.
And this is the Gareth Cliff Show. Gareth Cliff is in Germany, but Leanne Moll is to my left.
Yes.
And to her left is Sia.
You are also correct with that.
So yes, you got to beg the question, what more do you need in life?
I mean,
and I tell you nothing.
And then to my left is Ben.
Look, can you believe that? What are the chances?
Not only do we know what the date is, we know direction and we know each other's names. I mean, this is how you get off to a great start.
Look at us, team. This is how you start a Monday.
Well, great start for you. I left home 5 minutes later than I normally do.
Yeah.
And it made 10 minutes difference.
Oh, geez.
Anyway.
You sound like you live on the other side of the world.
It does feel like that. I'm still out of breath from climbing the stairs.
But yeah, what did you do? You sprint up the stairs because you made good time.
Oh, no, I did.
Okay,
it was the running that did it, my athletic running.
Wow.
Very good. So we don't have an action-packed Monday. I just got the running order. Unfortunately, our guests today are traveling, so we can't chat to them. So it's just going to be the three of us. We've got Salehok coming in with the finance.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll catch up on the finance. There's unfortunately no reality check with Rich. So, I mean, the reason why I was trying to be so positive in my intro is because I just let you down with the...
So there's nothing planned.
Contrast, basically. There we go.
That's an optimistic approach.
You can be a part of the show. You listening live right now, well, you can get in touch with us at 079-748-2090 on Telegram, the WhatsApp. See, that's pretty much it, huh?
Telegram.
And Skype. Skype is Cliff Central Studio.
Okay, Nola, can you give us the Skype line?
Yes, Leanne, this is Ben at his best. That is Ben at his best.
All right, so
we
don't have Nola with the Skype line. When she comes in, though, she'll rattle it off to you.
And she'll be answering calls and doing great things as well.
She'll be answering calls, planning podcasts and doing all that kind of stuff. So Friday was high drama. Sia essentially had to go, he wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know Sia is probably he's the best big, small, medium, everything brother. Your sisters definitely lean on you. That's what we've seen from the show, Sia.
Okay, I really was expecting you to be sarcastic and facetious, but that is nice of you. That was nice.
What happened?
I'm getting to it. So Sia messages saying, sorry guys, my sister, my heavily pregnant sister, I might not use the word heavily, but his pregnant sister, she needs to go to hospital. So Sia couldn't make the show. As professionals, we obviously kicked on. But how is things? What happened?
Yeah, is there a baby?
Are you okay?
Well, it was an absolute mess on Friday morning. The long and short of it. I love how I'll say this is the short of it, but I'll go on for 6 minutes.
Well, it's the long and the sear of it because it's never ever too short.
But I am her next of kin. We are the only siblings in town, and her fiance often works out of town. So I woke up as usual and had called Gareth and saying, cool, I'll see you in a bit. And then she starts calling me and saying, look, I'm having these odd stomach pains. And she hasn't been having the eases of pregnancies. And we've been discussing it on the show and sounding sometimes like a whiny, horrible person from my side saying, oh, here she goes again. She's having cravings and she's coming over to my place and she's making herself way, way too acquainted with my couch.
All the drama.
Yeah, but it has been difficult for her. But Friday morning, which is very unlike her, she started apologizing because, of course, she knows I work in the morning but had to rush her to hospital. And she lives in the West Rand and I'm in the North, so that's already a mess on its own. And got there, we went straight to admissions and we found out that she's been having these weird spasms because she... Granted, she's a very petite person, so now when you add a growing baby, and she's 31 weeks so far, when you add this growing baby, and it's quite a heavy baby now, it's 1,700 grams, so that's 1.7 kgs to her short stature, that has been adding to the pressure onto her body.
Every aspect of pregnancy just sounds like...
I know, now I've been sitting there, and I'm like, okay, see, this is not about you, it's not about you, be supportive, but I'm like, this is horrible, because the baby's putting pressure on her different organs. organs and even on her legs. And so that's why she's been having these weird pains and spasms. And so over the weekend, we were literally just hanging on to every word the doctors were saying, whether or not we were going to have, I love how I'm including myself into this now, but yes, whether we were going to have an early delivery or not. But as of literally like a couple of hours ago, last night, the doctor says, so far, everything seems good. Baby's developing well. Okay. Let's knock on wood. And okay. So, yeah, for 31 weeks, baby's fine. It's actually more advanced developed. The baby's 33 weeks, if you count it in that way. And so for now, we don't have to deliver early. But she's still in hospital. So this is a situation literally where it's like thoughts and prayers and crossing fingers and hoping for good things. So,
thoughts,
yeah.
Prayers. And if you're also pregnant, thoughts, prayers as well. That you can go through things smoothly.
Yeah. I respect anyone who goes into that process willingly on another level, because it just does weird things to you. It's such a huge undertaking.
The actual birth process, I was speaking to my cousin who's a pediatric surgeon.
It's medically classified as a trauma.
She said it's a miracle that women don't die, like all of them. It's what the female body goes through during delivery is so dramatic that it's a miracle that a human being can survive it.
Yeah, but back in the day, like it happened. It still does, you know. She died during childbirth, like that old chestnut.
And it still does. But for those who make it, which is the majority nowadays, if you're in a hospital, it's an absolute miracle that the body can go through that and then recover.
Mm. You really have to give it up to people who are able to do that. It sounds really so odd to say, but yeah. And
but I mean, like Octomom,
eight times nearly died. And I just don't understand the way she was lamenting about the smallest and slightest of things. You know, she has to lie in a certain way. Supposedly you have to lie on your left because where's the liver? On the right side. And that's supposedly...
That's right.
It's whichever side hurts.
I know exactly where mine is.
The liver is. Well, the liver,
I can draw the outline of mine with my finger, I know.
Well, the liver's on the right so that it promotes oxygen well and I don't know whatnot so that you and the baby are fine. And then she can't sit and then there's certain things that she can't eat and then she needs to sit up. Then she needs to... It's a lot. It is a lot. So, yeah, this past weekend has been the best contraception in my books ever.
And then you get those women who didn't know they were pregnant.
Yep.
I don't know how it happened. It's that and also the women who say, I've never felt more like a woman. Oh, Mother Nature, this is incredible. It's such a blessing.
Don't treat me differently because I'm pregnant. I'm absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Not working in my books.
Yeah, so if you are pregnant right now, let us know. Let us know how it's going. It is, but like everything in life, everyone's got a different personal take on things. Everyone goes, I mean, some people have an absolute breeze. And they're like, oh, it was so easy. And then the woman who went through trauma is now listening to this wanting to stab her in the face.
I hate you, don't talk about it.
I've been at dinner parties like that where that's the conversation I kind of thread.
Yeah.
Speaking of kind of wellness, so I'm doing this video project. It's got to do with the transformation of a guy who's rather big into a guy that can do a half Ironman. It's very early stages, so I can't go into too much of it. But the very first kind of start of it is him being assessed by these medical professionals.
Like, so, how big is big?
Leanne?
Good question.
He's a big guy. He's 120-something kilograms. Okay. Yeah. So he could do better.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited about this project because between now and June, we're going to work on this whole thing. I think genetically I'm rather fortunate. I'm a slender individual, so I don't have to go through the rigmarole of excessive weight gain or weight loss. And I'm very appreciative of that because no matter what I do, I just generally look like this.
Yeah.
One of those things. But now to go through a path of someone else who really, and actually understand weight, actually understand calories and all these different things that can actually influence your day. I was so fascinated. So I went to this dietitian. So this guy is now being assessed and I'm filming little bits because I'm putting together video stuff. Mm-hmm. And just going through the basic stuff of like what we eat on a day-to-day basis, what we don't like, what we like, our different habits, our drinking habits, how we regard social time versus healthy time and all this kind of stuff.
Even sleep.
Exactly.
How important that is.
And even sleep. And what do you drink? Why do you drink? How often do you drink? I thought it was just absolutely fascinating seeing how, because I mean, I assess myself as everyone else would do in this position, like what do you eat, how do you analyze that, but to see someone who have a different kind of sort of perspective, I was blown away. So I chatted to a dietitian, and I try to get her on the show, because I think we all need to kind of have like a refresh about how we go through our day-to-day lives, because you know, we all think we're a little bit healthier than we really are. Turns out actually we're not getting the nutrients we need. And it was so cool. It was such a great start to the weekend.
Have you seen that program where the trainer gains weight?
No.
What?
Oh, yeah. What? I'm trying to remember what it was called. Oh, it's like...
Train yourself in my shoes kind of
fat
thing.
Fat to fit to fat, or fit to fat to fit. Yeah, that's it. So the trainer...
Oh, wow. That's a cool spin on things.
Yeah. It's an American program, and I've seen about 6 to 8 of them. Each time it features a different trainer, male or female.
Mm-hmm.
And the personal trainer... puts on, they meet up with their fat client, and they vow to put on a certain amount of weight. But I'm talking, they eat 3 pizzas, 2 burgers, and a dessert in one meal. They eat until they actually get sick.
Wow.
And they do this for months, for 2 or 3 months. They put on a lot of weight. It's really interesting to see.
But you would have to be under some sort of medical observation there, because that can really go bad.
And the one female trainer, she had to stop because it was affecting her fertility. But just seeing how these people's moods change. They've never been fat in their lives. And they become so depressed, these trainers. And their relationships are even put under pressure. Because they've changed so much, and they really are bulky and fat.
Oh, I hope they're really getting paid well.
Then they start the program. They go and see their client again, and the client's like, "What the hell? I can't believe what you look like." And they start training together, and the trainer realizes how hard it is to do these exercises.
Yeah, exactly. Because you work on theory a lot of the time when you're helping somebody, because you're working what you've learned and what you want to apply.
Yeah.
But the small things of like, oh, fuck stairs, or I'm so tired of water, I just want a milkshake or Coke or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Or just not being able, you know, this one movement that you do where you crawl like a dog.
it's like a bear crawl kind of
thing. A bear crawl, that's it. And they realize they can't even bring their legs forward because their stomachs are in the way. Small things like that.
But like you can discover that while you're fumbling for underwear on a Monday morning at your house, but when you're doing it in front of someone else...
Yeah.
That's harder.
And how these trainers can't bear the thought that they can't do these things anymore. But yeah, they all go through it together, and it's usually successful.
But I guess,
maybe you should try that, Ben.
I think it would take me a long time to get fat. I mean, in all seriousness.
Well, so, they work out how many calories they've got to eat. And yeah, it's just amazing.
My first difficult workout was very difficult.
This is the trainer.
And it shocked me. I didn't believe it was going to be so difficult.
Good, trust me, this is a lot for me too. It's a lot for me too. Good, let's go. Just got to keep it up.
The first step in this weight loss journey, Alyssa had to admit that she was overweight.
Yeah, and this is the most fascinating thing I've ever seen. This video, I'll put this onto Part One's podcast webpage.
Yeah.
This guy is like machinely built, and he gets stuck into the fast food.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him, he just comes up this, he walks up a hill, he's out of breath, and he's trying to do like mountain climbers, the ab workouts, and you hear him, he's like heaving.
Yeah.
Second step, Alyssa had to see that she was beautiful. The third thing is that Alyssa had to believe that she was going to lose weight and get to her final goal. I am impressed, inspired, and surprised by Alyssa and what she's done.
But that is so amazing. I think a lot of the time as well, when you are of a certain size, you look at personal trainers and they look at you in a certain way. Because sometimes a personal trainer is like, well, that's just my fat client. Whereas with this guy saying, yeah, you know, you find out she is beautiful. She's got the same problems. She wants to do these kind of things.
Yeah.
She's not just someone who's doing something.
Mm. Yeah, I've actually got goosebumps. It's like...
I'm going to watch this. It's amazing.
And then at the end, there's the reveal where the trainers got back to... In every single episode, the trainer gets back to what they were. And just this feeling of power that they feel, and feeling in control again.
But what is a lot for the body to go through?
Yeah, hey? Sure. I mean, you would hope there's no really like long-term like problems with this. But this guy is in extremely good shape. Like, he's a big guy, but he's cut, and he becomes a big like fat guy.
Yeah. Fit literally with moves and back rolls.
Yeah, no, when he got out of bed there, he had wobbly C cups.
Oh. Yeah.
And his stomach is like you couldn't see his head because of his stomach at a certain angle. Fit to fat to fit.
We need each other, and our support and love wins.
My goal is to gain 60 pounds
and lose it with you.
This is my last hope at changing my life.
Wow, jeepers, what a great show. But also, we never see the transformation the other way. We always see these, like, look at me, and then there's like the version where you're tanned and your hair looks better and you're smiling and you're standing up straight and the lighting's better. Other ones like this dingy garage shot where you're fat.
Yeah.
No, see, crazy. I don't know how much I'd have to be paid to do this as the trainer.
They also, probably are paid a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine.
But also, they only need to do it once to understand forever what it's like to be on the other side.
But also, like, these things where people say, oh, I don't have a lot of junk food, I just have it every now and again, I can control it. But when you watch this and how this stuff escalates and how it just, you really are piling on the pound.
Well, that's it. And a lot of these trainers become addicted to sugar through the process.
Yeah.
You know, on the first day, they're like, oh, I can't do this. And then they start craving it.
Well, sugar is like any other drug.
That's it.
I mean, it is basically the cocaine that you can buy.
And that's the hardest thing. It's not the fat. It's not the cheese. It's not all of that. It's the sugar that they battle to come off of.
But in order to get that weight, you need to get into that. You have to drink the full fat, the full sugars.
They eat everything. Even to the last weigh-in, where they've got like 1 pound to put on and they haven't reached the goal. They'll eat 1 pound of food.
Well, today's also National Golf Day. Yay.
Oh, is that marked on your calendar?
No, it's genuine. It's National Golf Day. I'm playing in National Golf Day today. So every South African golfer out there can register, and everyone's scores go towards one big thing. So you can participate against everybody in the country today, which is 3rd of September.
Where would you come if you participated against everyone in the country?
She's right now. Okay, so yesterday I had played 36 holes. I played on Saturday.
Yeah, I saw you doing something at Stain City.
Oh, see that place. Yeah, okay, we'll get to that in a second.
Carolyn Stone's front lawn casually.
Yeah, but like that place feels like a second golfing home now because we had this annual challenge. Let me get to that in a second. But yeah, National Golf Day. So basically the six major winners from South Africa, Ernie Els, Gary Player, Retief Koosten, Louis Oosthuizen, Charles Schwartzel, Trevor Ullman, they're all playing around the world. Everyone's scores going to one big computer, and hey presto, we have a one big golf day. But also it's the new handicap system that's come out, so yeah, it's a really big day. So I'm massively excited. I'm finishing the show. I'm going to go home.
You look excited.
I'm going to dress into one of my numerous golf outfits, and away I go.
Oh, yes. Have you got some tweed?
No, don't do tweed. That hasn't come back onto the radar just yet. But yeah, yesterday at Stain City, we have this annual challenge. So there's a media team, which I get into. So there's 12 people per team. Then there's like the Stain City team itself. And then there's rugby players and cricket players. But like high-profile rugby players, cricket players, not like Flick, who played for the Wanderers first team, or some guy who played for the Lions, and then, you know. So I play golf with AB de Villiers and Ray Mort. He's an old ex-Springbok.
Wow.
Nas Boot is the captain of the rugby team, and that guy is the spiciest dude ever off TV. So funny, so witty, so sharp. Just got the best chirps all day.
Why doesn't he bring that with him onto the shows?
See, the thing is, like, yeah, this is a different conversation, but like, when you're in sport broadcasting, I guess everyone's got a certain kind of role, and everyone's got to be kind of in the middle. But you get Nas on a golf course, he's one of the most colourful individuals you'll ever come across. And then the cricket team's captained by Albie Morkel, but there's like really, really, really high-profile guys on both teams. So then the media team, we actually won for the first time.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so it was a huge day, but we played 36 holes. So we play foursomes in the morning, singles in the afternoon, and we're like absolute children. So normally the rugby or the cricket guys or the Stain City guys win. And they're like, yeah, we won the trophy, clap, clap, clap. We were outside with the trophy, getting individual photos. But yeah, that place is something else. And every year I go there, it seems to develop more and more. Like, so obviously there was the big house, Dirk Stain's house.
Yeah.
Have you seen the top billing special around that?
Yeah. And you can't, well, look at me trying to find an intersection between sport and my life. But I usually go and have lunch at the clubhouse there. There's a great restaurant called 19.
Yeah.
And you really sit, nice. If you sit outside, you literally just staring at the house. And it's
with,
like,
the, with the aqueduct flowing.
Okay. Doesn't it make you feel shitty about your own life?
Absolutely.
No, but this is what I was thinking, guys, while I was there. Okay, so this is an annual thing that I go to. And I get invited to a couple of days, like, and it's a really great place. And I really enjoy it. And the course itself is great. My lowest ever scores at that course, so it's special. But then I was thinking, like, you know, when you really, really, really rich, you have all the options in the world.
Jeez.
So if you think of Durstan, and you'll hear a variety of things about the super rich in this world, mostly from bitter people who never have the money or comprehend that kind of stuff. This guy could have taken his money anywhere in the world. Anywhere. I mean, he could have probably bought Malta or whatever with all the money he's made through his insurance companies and everything else that he's done.
Okay.
But he chose to take all that money and basically create what will be a huge part of Joburg life in future. And just think all the jobs he's created with that and all the different things. Like, that's a big deal.
It's a big legacy.
Yeah.
And all the massive envy.
Because you always think, like, oh, rich will have the easiest life and this and that and whatever. Screw these guys. But it's when you look around, you think this is a huge positive for this region, this country, this place. So where many people want to run away or do other things with their money, like, it's massive. It's just, it really is becoming a city. So, like, I had a really great day. Like, I had just the best weekend. And my girlfriend came home from a week away from Cape Town.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at you.
So, just what a happy start to spring.
The last time I was at Stain City, I had an awkward moment. Because once you're in there and the roads all just link up together and you might be confused as to where you're going, I was reprimanded by the security because I happened to take a wrong turn. And that's the street that leads up to the main Stain House. So they're like, excuse me. No.
You turned right and didn't go straight.
Yeah. They're like, you are not our people. Like, that's it. Just go in your merry way. You're not allowed on this part of town. So, yeah, talk about the Stains really reaffirming who they are. But, yeah, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous place there.
Yeah, like, if you really want to see what the place is like, if you go into YouTube, there's a top billing did a feature around this. And it's quite something. One of those guys with three names and a hyphen went in there.
You mean Jonathan Boytonley?
Perhaps.
Possibly.
Perhaps, yeah, perhaps. And,
as long as you've got three hyphenated names and you know how to use your arms a lot,
yeah,
you can do it.
Essentially.
Or are you saying no lead Maulana Sango? You just aren't sure now.
One of them, I don't know.
Let's not poke fun, Sia. I don't watch Top Billing, but I watch this thing where they go into the house and then obviously Carolyn walks them around and then they show the garage and there's all her blankets. You know, she's always got blankets.
She's knitting 67 blankets.
She's the warmest woman in the world, Carolyn Stain. She's always surrounded by wolf. And you see all the cars. And then just to give you an idea of scale of how big this place is, wow, it was incredible. So if you look at my Instagram page, there's lots of pictures of me gushing about golf.
World Golf Day. Leanne, how was your weekend?
It was good. I'm very glad that spring's arrived. And a cute little story, a cute little thing happened on spring day. My cousin told me that she's got a balcony. She lives in an apartment, right? Mm-hmm. And she's got faux grass on this little balcony and she's made a vertical wall garden and it's really nice. She's got a cat. The cat litter box is outside.
Nice.
And one day she sees something next to the cat litter box. This is a few weeks ago. It's a nest on the faux grass next to the cat litter box. And it's a bird's nest. And there are two eggs inside it. I don't know how these birds missed is a cat. It's the biggest sign in the world. Right next to the shit box. It's like worst all the smells are there. Yeah. Worst parents ever. But
also not grass.
Not grass. Plastic. Right? I mean, come on. Anyway, the eggs have been absolutely fine. The cat hasn't touched them at all.
Oh jeez.
And on spring day I got a message from my cousin to say, "We have squabs." So these two little chicks have hatched. The cat's still not going anywhere near them. It's bizarre. I mean, my cats eat birds like it's breadcrumbs. Oh. They just plow through the garden and come out with legs and feathers sticking out of their mouths. But these two little birds have been born on spring day and living in harmoniously with the cat.
Where the cat's putting a press on, the birds are tweet, 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 and the cat's like...
on the faux grass.
On the faux grass. What an absolute... What a story. What a story of life.
I asked her to send me photos. She's like, no, I don't want to disturb the birds.
Oh, look at her.
So, yeah.
Well, do you want to get into the five things that you need to know, by the way?
Yeah, that's probably
the answer I was waiting for and expecting. Thank you.
Really he good. Wasn't really asking. It was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, and then we've got, we don't have Anthea today, but we've got Salejo.
Yes.
Sorry.
Anthea, I
hesitated there because Salejo has basically sent us through an absolute financial quarterly report.
Wow.
Do you know what I love the most is we'll whisk through all of these notes as if like I at least have any idea, but I have no cooking clue what's going on.
See, we always go through the notes that our guest sends us.
Yeah, we just use certain keywords and we'll be fine. Company reporting, what is Naspers doing, and the shares, that's it. But in the five things you need to know...
Wait. Let's get at least one message before we go to the five things you need to know.
Okay, then.
This is from Mona Lisa.
Ooh.
Hi, guys. Please don't get how tough weight loss can be.
Don't get it.
Maybe that's forget. I've struggled with it most of my life, but recently, after working on mind and body, I've lost 46 kilograms.
That's amazing.
Wow.
I need to lose 30, so I do understand.
Mind and body, Helianchi. Because, I mean, people really don't get that this is a mental battle as much as a physical one. For most of us, the fat is armor. Enough deep shit for Monday. Great show. Lias, I love you. Latest Mona Lisa. But yeah, Mona Lisa, that's exactly what we're bringing up, is that, you know, that show fats, fit to fat. It is. It's so much more than just, well, you eat too much junk food. It's the behavioral stuff. It's breaking those kind of things down. And, I mean, like I said, I'm quite privileged. I don't think I can ever get to that stage just because of my structure. But to understand this process, understand what people go through, it's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, mental is just so important through all of that. And the depression, to see a healthy person going through the fatness and seeing how it affects their energy levels and their mindset and their willingness to get up every day. And when you're overweight, you feel like that every single day.
Yeah. So true. Well, thanks.
Well done for doing something about it.
46 kilograms.
That's amazing.
That you should have some sort of state-funded award for that.
Yeah, I used to weigh that in matric.
See, because that's my frame of reference. I wonder how, and when we talk about the effects weight has on your body, you are essentially carrying a small person on you.
Yeah.
And that is what you're shedding. I actually weighed myself this past weekend and I'm 63 kilograms. And you wonder if people are... I really have, and I'm proud of that.
Well done.
Over the past year, while I've put on 8 kg as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you, boy to man.
Thanks. Ooh. You should also see the hair on my chest.
No. But just the one.
Just the one little
level string.
I like your hair. It's such a nice one.
Thanks. Never mind. I'm not taking it further. But the point that I really am thinking about is how, firstly, that feels on your body as you are going through your daily life and you have this weight, and how you shed that off and what that does to you as well. Jeez, that's amazing. So, yeah, 46 kgs, Mona Lisa, congratulations to you.
You've lost more than half of me. Just gone.
Half of who?
Sounds so sad.
Anyway, five things we need to know. Leanne, what is going on?
Well, I have the stories, thank you. I'd like to just start off by saying it's a Monday, so...
It's running order, so... misleading.
You love rattling off with these papers. Well, the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into allegations of state capture, as we discussed with ENCA reporter Mike Apple last week for the Burning Platform, is scheduled to continue in Parktown on Monday. So the Government Communication and Information System, the GCIS CEO Pumla Williams is expected to continue her testimony today. So on Friday, they wrapped the week up with Williams saying that her former CEO, Jimmy Mani, sent her a text message while she was giving evidence, drama ensuing there. Well, this is after she had implicated him, telling the inquiry that he had irregularly changed the tender processes at the GCIS and placing all final decisions under him. So Mani replaced Themba Maseko in 2011 who was fired after he defied an instruction by former President Jacob Zuma to help, and this is in inverted commas, the Guptas, who were demanding that GCIS media spend the channeled to the New Age. Well, Williams had told the commission that a bid adjudication committee, which had final say on all tenders, had been set up by Mani's predecessors. So it really is exactly what we were touching on, Ben, last week with Michael Apple, about all of these revelations that is going to come out in this process, and more so, well, what is going to happen? So if you are having Jimmy Mani, who's messaging Phumla Williams while she's taking to the stand, like, this is already some below-the-belt drama that I see happening, so well, I wonder what the repercussions will be,
it
really.
It just feels so in keeping with the people involved here. That's such a typical accident that's going to happen thing. With these people.
Yeah.
You, like a late, sly text message by, like, you know, I'm covering my ass here, don't let me down kind of thing.
Or also trying to threaten her, send a message.
So
who knows?
You just hear the name Jimmy Mania and you think, like, there's no excellence, there's no honor. What's he ever really created?
Well, what do you really hear? Is it Jimmy? Is it Mzwanele Manu? Where are we right now?
Yeah, you're not allowed to call him Jimmy, but either way, it's like it's a sly move. I really hope that this inquiry does do something. Really uproot the slyness.
Mm. Well, the second story that you need to know this morning, police have mourned 29 officers who were killed in the line of duty. This was at a ceremony yesterday on Sunday, which was held by the Department of Police. It's an annual commemoration day at its memorial site at the Union Buildings in Pretoria. Well, the name of 29 officers who died in the line of duty between the 1st of April 2017 and the 31st of March this year were added to the wall of remembrance witnessed by family and loved ones of the murdered members. Have any of you ever seen that at the Union Buildings? If you ever visit the Union Buildings, and of course the main building is what a lot of people go towards, but the main road within the property has these gardens as well, and that's where the iconic Mandela statue is situated as well. But if you walk throughout the garden, and if you're staring at the buildings, it would be on your left, on your right rather, and you walk towards the right, there's this great grand wall there. And I think there's something to it. As you read the names and you look at how old they were, you realize, as much as we complain and say, you know, and services in this country tend to disappoint us, but these were people who were, you know, fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers, and who were just like you and I, and they woke up and they went to work, and just when they were at their day at the office, they died. So it's quite chilling to
kind of
like, see
some
that
symbolism there, because you get memorials for wars, times of war, people get remembered. So here, like, the war of crime is such a thing that this wall is unfortunately growing and growing and growing.
Yeah. The police minister, Begicelele, did speak yesterday saying, "We call on all communities and society to work with the police to fight the scourge of police killings. Police members are a national asset and they need to be protected by all of us. One police killing is one too many. And my wish," this is Begicelele, "is for events of this nature to never happen." Yeah.
Yeah, damn right. You're right. One is too many. This is people who are in the service of protecting people, essentially.
But I don't mean to also poo-poo the entire thing. Also part of the Wall of Remembrance is this water feature, which is meant to symbolize, you know, the continuous support or the love or whatever the case is. And that's how the water flowing should be viewed, I guess. And the times that I've been there, there has been no water. And I always think, well, Union Buildings, come on, guys. It's just a simple thing. No, symbolic, whatnot. Is it asking for too much? No. Anyway, well, third story that you need to know this morning. At a time when South Africa's hospitals are faced with critical staff shortages, which impact on the healthcare system, some intern and community service doctors actually remain unemployed. In KZN in particular, the South African Medical Association has confirmed that it's trying to assist more than 40 doctors who have yet to be placed at local hospitals. Once again, our processes are letting us down here. The South African Medical Association Vice Chairperson, Dr. Mark Sonderup, confirmed that...
Mark who?
Sonderup. Sonderup or Sonderup? S-O-N-D-E-R-U-P.
Sonderup.
Sonderup. Sawn that up.
Nice.
It's like a fancy syrup.
His surname is nice, but just say. Well, Dr. Mark, the vice chairperson who's speaking out, has confirmed that there was still a substantial number of doctors who remain unemployed. It so doesn't make sense. He goes on to say it doesn't make sense that government invests in educating doctors and then they cannot help them to progress. This is unacceptable when senior leadership in this country needs to step in now and address this as a matter of urgency. He said that the National Department of Health was of the view that South African doctors who trained in the country should be given first preference.
I can tell you from the inside, from an inside source, that the hospitals are a mess in terms of management and delegation and putting doctors where they should be. They're doctors queuing up waiting to help.
Yeah, don't get ill, don't get sick.
Well,
might have to go to the hospital. Just try not to get ever sick in this country. Yeah. Ever.
Well, jeez, Ben.
I know, see, we've got to have dreams. We've got to have dreams.
But very high standards.
Fourth story you need to know this morning. Well, NASFIS, the National South African Financial Aid Scheme, says its systems are ready to receive funding applications from students for 2019 starting from today. Online applications will be open from midnight following last week's announcement that funding backlogs from 2017 and 2018 are being cleared. NASFIS officials will be at university finance offices and NYDA offices across the country. NYDA websites will be open from midnight with hard copy submission systems set to be fully functional in 2 weeks. NASFIS spokesperson Kagiso Mamabolo said, "We are anticipating by midnight applications will start flowing in. Last year, we experienced a high volume of applications from the first day that we opened. We're also expecting 5,000 to 6,000 users per minute." Well, if that's anything to go by, we know how the state of education is in the country. So, okay, if they finally say that their systems are working well, all systems go on that front. And then the final story that you need to know this morning, it's that time of the year again, where Apple on Thursday have sent out invitations to a 12th of September event at which it's expected to unveil new additions to, well, let's call it like it is, their money-making iPhone lineup.
Here's our new phone. It's the same as the old one, but it's got a new name.
And somehow we'll just throw in...
Just with a couple of Android features thrown in.
Yeah, one, and we'll throw in one thing that we deem so innovative, but at the same time is so unnecessary because, well...
Siri is now a dancing dog.
Ooh, wow.
Maybe Siri's had a sex change.
Yeah.
You never know. A lot happens over time.
Siri's been gender fluid for quite some time now, I think.
Well, okay. If you care to know finer details, Apple are sticking to their whole over-the-top style. They've sent out invitations which have the words "gather around" in large golden letters. And the presentation is set to take place, as usual, at the Steve Jobs Theater at its spaceship campus, they call it, in Silicon Valley. Yeah. So, yeah.
Where basically someone talks, but then they put their fingers together. You know, you're like, top billing's about putting your arms apart.
Uh-huh.
Apple launches a great, put your fingers together. It's kind of like a TED talk. So you say things, we see the world differently from a phone, fingers together, contemplative look. Us at Apple have always believed that fingers together, contemplative look, are unique users who need unique fingers together qualities. And everyone just goes, oh, and then it's like a slight drum roll. Phone.
You're going to make me sound overly analyzing
when you guys,
this.
When you guys
so
watch this thing,
right.
Watch the fingers together.
To see that.
It could be a drinking game every time fingers together happen.
Fingers together during an Apple launch. That's definitely what you want to get into. So we must see, is that it?
Yes, those are the five things that you need to know this morning.
Right. Okay. We know you get the best news here. You also know we're not doing cryptocurrency. Can we scrap cryptocurrency now?
Oh, we're just done.
Put it this way, if you have money in cryptocurrency, you're on the apps and you're talking to your bots and all that kind of stuff. I don't think we need to crap on about the fact that this price is mostly just demoralizing if you've got money. I will tell you, though, that the euro will cost you 17.12, the British pound will cost you 19.07, and the US dollar costs you 14.75. That's a lot. It's very expensive to buy that money right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get into that with Slayer just now, why it's so expensive, and general economy stuff. But I will get into the sport. It's Monday. That means so much sport took place in the days prior to this. Let's start off with the MTN8s because we obviously were at the semi-final stage. More importantly, the second legs of the semi-finals. So Mamelodi Sundowns, they have not had a good time of things. They're out of the CAF Champions League. They then had Cape Town City. They were one up though. One up? Sorry, they were one down on aggregate. So they managed to win the actual match 1-1. If you look at it like that. But then they had to go to penalties. They went to penalties and they absolutely cocked it up. Cape Town City advanced 4-2. A day prior to that, Kaizer Chiefs took on Supersport United and Supersport United get it done. They won 1-0 in the day. Of course, there was that thrilling 2-2 first leg. So Supersport United versus Cape Town City. Two clubs that Eric Tinkler has walked away from. And, well, let's just say that he always makes bad decisions when it comes to managing clubs. In the English Premier League, Jose Mourinho no longer has a face like a smacked ass. Yep, Man United finally won. They beat Burnley. They got a guy sent off, had a bit of a cry, but no, it's fine. 2-0. Good win there. Lukaku scoring the goals. Watford, they made it 4 from 4. Wow. That's incredible. I think it's the first time in their entire history they've ever won their first 3 or 4 opening games. They beat Spurs 2-1. That's a biggie. Arsenal went to Wales and they beat Cardiff 3-2. Man City, they beat Newcastle 2-1. That could have been a sticky match, as they say, but it wasn't. Man City was too good. Everton had a boring draw with Huddersfield Town. No H in that one. 1-1. And then outside of that, Liverpool beat Leicester. Yeah. Those are all your football things, Leanne, just in case you missed out on any of those.
I'm so relieved I know now.
I was also on the edge there. Test cricket. India had a good chance to take it to the fifth and final test in the series, but again, that batting lineup crumbled. Oh, must be so frustrating if you are talented in India, as in like if you just Virat Kohli and the rest of the team just fluffs you. It was a pretty low scoring match. I mean, England were 246 in the first innings. India replied with 273. England with 271 in the third inning. So they didn't need a whole bunch of runs, did India? But Moeen Ali came back, and he was playing some county cricket. He had a bit of a break from the team. 4 for 71. He was the hero as India were bowled out for 184, chasing 245. Kohli and Rahane were the only ones that really got 50 there, only really ones that put up a bit of a fight. Ashwin tried, but then the tail was around him, and that was that. So England win the series 3-1. It will go to the fifth test, obviously. But, I mean, all the impetus is out of this. I mean, Kohli might not even play because, you know, he's always about doing things the way he wants to do things. Like, he'll captain when he wants to. I'm sure there's a Bollywood song about that, but we're not getting to that now. US Open tennis, we're getting to the quarterfinals, the big stage. Serena beat Venus, and then she went and beat Kanepi, which now means she plays Pliskova. Tennis of the best names. Sloane Stephens.
Say that name again.
She beat Kanepi, and she'll now take on Pliskova.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, Pliskova beat Barty. Sloane Stephens, she will be taking on Sevastova. And then on the other side of the draw, we've got Suarez Navarro with Sharapova, and then Keys and Sybil Kova, and then Sabalenko and Osaka, and Vondrousova and Trisaninko.
Sounds like a menu.
You can have all of that.
Yes.
With a side of chips. So that's how the women's draw is shaping up. Very, very exciting. It's actually very open right now, this whole tennis game. Both the men's and the women's. Into the men, Nadal is through. He will take on Dominic Thiem. Now, Thiem beat Kevin Anderson. Oh, South Africa's big lone hope. Big lanky hope is out. Round 4, gone. Thiem straight sets him. 7-7-5, 6-2, 7-6. Del Potro will take on Isner. And then the bottom side of the draw, Roger Federer, of course, is still there. He beat Kyrgios, and now he'll take on Milman. Djokovic will take on Sosa. Nishikori will take on Cole Schreiber. And then Cilic will take on Goffin. Of course, most of these matches are taking place when you are sleeping. So I forgive you if you didn't care about the last 2 minutes that came out of my mouth. what else is going on? Oh, yeah, lots of golf. So it's, of course, the FedEx Cup playoffs of Dell Technologies, which ends today because it's Labor Day in America. So out of all the FedEx Cup playoff match games, out of the four of them, tournaments, this one goes on day later. Abraham Ansa, the Mexican guy, he's 13 under. He's currently fighting for his place to stay in the whole FedEx Cup, but he's having a blinder. He's at top of the leaderboard there at 13 under. Bryson DeChambeau, this guy is just killing it right now. He's tied second with Tyrrell Hatton. And then Matt Wallace won the Made in Denmark competition tournament. Why can't I say tournament this morning? He got into a playoff. He birdied 10 of his last 13 holes. If you can't win a golf tournament by doing that, well, then you're going to nervous breakdown. Incredible effort there. So, of course, now Thunderbear Olsson, he's also in the team, the Ryder Cup team. He clinched his spot. So the top eight have been decided for the Europeans. And obviously, I have to think next week we'll find out who the Americans are. And then we're going to the captain's picks because I think it's only 3 weeks now until the Ryder Cup in Paris. Open de France, a golf course, I think is where they're playing this year. That's pretty much it for the sport. It wasn't the biggest sporting weekend. Of course, there's no Rugby Championship because that will take place as of next week. The Boks are going down under to play Australia and New Zealand. Basically come back with very few points if you were to look at the current trajectory of the team, but hopes remain high. And then in the F1, Hamilton nudged Vettel, and then Hamilton won. Although all the Italians with their hands in the crowd were gesticulating heavily because they feel that Hamilton bumped Vettel and then it wasn't fair. Because when you go to Monza, obviously everybody wants Ferrari to win.
Yeah.
There's never an Italiano F1er. But yeah, they all cheer for the red car. Unfortunately, red car didn't win. They were 1 and 2 on the grid, but it didn't happen for them. Yeah, and then more sport tomorrow, I think. Yeah, see, enough sport.
You know, I think sports is a daily thing that happens at about like 6:40 a.m. So yeah, there will be sport tomorrow.
All right, you know what we didn't do? We didn't actually get theme music for Solejo. So what are we gonna do?
Because technically,
no, but like, there's a rule in the JSC, you can't start finance without a theme tune.
Yeah, every day.
Scrap. Wait, so look, hang on. See, now we haven't got theme tunes. Now he's talking like out of nowhere. We're losing our shape here.
Solo, is there really a JSC rule? Are you familiar with this? That you know you have to have theme music.
I would love to disagree, but he's telling the truth.
Spot on.
But yeah. Okay. So what would your theme tune be? If you were to like come out to bat for finance, I mean, what's your theme tune? We can't have you coming in here unannounced.
I guess it would have to be something from Drake, just because I'm a big Drake fan.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Drake.
Mm. Something about money, obviously.
Yeah, I think he's got a few songs about that.
Yeah.
Just a few.
A rapper doesn't have a song about money. Go figure.
Well, okay. I always just think that Drake is like reincarnated Craig David.
I've heard that allegation.
This is Solejo's finance music.
What is going on here right now?
Have you seen the notes he sent through? We definitely have to have intro music for what he's about to deliver.
Good point, actually. Solejo Tsatsi is standing in for Anthea today. Anthea is half Iron Manning in general.
Yes.
Supporting someone at Ironman.
And traveling, working. She's a busy woman, as we know.
You know what? She does work hard for her money. So, Sile, what's happening in the money this week?
Yeah, so I thought we could just have a quick recap on what's happened in August on the JSC. Mm-hmm. Because it's been interesting that we've had some very large companies, large stocks, that have had really large moves, particularly one-day moves. So there's been a lot of volatility. So if we just look down the list, all of these companies have had share price declines of around 10%, or in some cases much more, 20% in August. We're looking at Sappi, ShopRite, Naspers, Libstar, Tiger Brands, Blue Label, and finally MTN.
So these are all your kind of big banker shares as well, like you go for these guys.
Yeah, exactly. As a, you know, banks tend to, there's lots of fees to be made out of being investment banks for these companies. And it's really MTN that I want to focus on first, because they were probably the biggest story of last week. So on Thursday, they dropped about 19%. And the share price is now at levels not seen since the great financial crisis around 2009.
Oh.
So what happened? It centers around their business in Nigeria. So the Central Bank of Nigeria, well, maybe to take a step back, to repatriate funds from Nigeria, you first need to prove that the funds were brought in. And you do this through what's called a CCI. Mm-hmm. And the Central Bank of Nigeria is essentially alleging that this didn't happen. And so they are asking MTN to refund or pay back about $8.1 billion, which is obviously a stunning sum of money. To put that into context, MTN's entire market cap, so not just for Nigeria, but the whole business, is about $11.4 billion after this share price decline.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about 70% of the entire business, which is, you know, quite mind-boggling.
I'm just seeing the lawyers queuing up here.
Yeah, it'll be a field day for them. So I think the one interesting thing is the share price decline of about 19-20% on Thursday roughly matches the value of Nigeria to MTN. So Nigeria is about 20 or 23% of MTN's value, and that roughly matches how much the share price declined by. So you could read that as investors saying, we're just going to write off the value of MTN Nigeria, and at this point we're going to look at the rest of the business.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely one that you see MTN have come out quite strongly and are saying they're going to fight this. They had a
This isn't the first time they've had troubles in Nigeria, right? There was that whole thing about those SIM cards not being cancelled or fee-cut or re-cut or something.
Yes, exactly. In 2015.
Yeah, that was a huge scandal.
And there was a Nigeria asked for a very large fine, about $1 billion in that case. And in that case, it was settled. Consensus or early thinking here is that because there are other parties involved, so there are banks involved, and all of these third parties are denying this or saying they're going to fight this, it looks like in this case there might not be a settlement. Maybe MTN's feeling that they're going to fight this.
Yeah,
this
probably case. Win this.
Yeah. But I mean, when you're going up against the government in Nigeria, it's always going to be a difficult battle.
It's also under their jurisdiction, essentially.
Here. Exactly, yeah. I mean, you're playing the kid who has the ball. He can just take it home if he wants.
And no one likes that kid.
Yeah. Well, sticking to MTN, MTN is down 19%?
Yes. As we said, it's back at GFC levels. It did have a bit of a bounce on Friday. It was up about 2.8%, but nothing significant. Then we had Tencent dropping about 5% at the end of last week. And that was after the Chinese government, through the Ministry of Education, they announced that they're going to curb the amount of playing time that the youth spends on video games or online games. And they're also going to curb the amount of new releases of games by gaming companies.
I get curbing new releases. How are they planning on curbing how many hours kids spend?
It's China, so they say that it happens.
Jeez, guys, China is living in 2036 while we are still in 2018. You know,
if China says you'll have one child, you will not have a second child. This game thing will be a breeze for them.
It is very draconian, but I mean, we have seen the US, Australia, other Western countries have looked at the issue of video game addiction. And I'm sure we all know someone, usually younger, sometimes older, who's got an issue with video games. I mean, I do think it is a real thing. But in this case, they're citing the fact that they believe an increase in nearsightedness is linked to the amount of video game playing. So it's not necessarily just addiction that they're targeting now.
You're actually becoming less humanly capable of things.
Yeah, it's affecting your abilities. And of course, Naspers, the biggest stock in the JSE, is they own about 30% or 31% of Tencent. And so Naspers is down 9% since Wednesday's close. Primarily due to this, the announcement or introduction of these new restrictions.
So it is a case of if China sneezes, the rest of the world catches the flu.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Nice.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, good analogy there.
See, I'm on top of this morning.
So Tencent dropped, right? And 50 Cent also dropped, but that was the last tune that he did was in April. So I just thought I'd add to the conversation, good.
You're right on point. Yes.
Okay.
I love when we're all on the same page when it comes to finance this morning.
Staying local, we had Mr. Price giving us a trading statement for the first 4 months of their financial year. So that's May to August. They said that they grew sales about 6.5% for the entire group, which is decent given the fact that South African-faced companies have really struggled this year, and we've seen that in the numbers. It was really driven by the apparel business, which grew close to 7-8%, and then the home business also grew at a similar pace. The only problem for Mr. Price, I would say, is that it's trading at roughly a 20 times PE, which is a relatively lofty multiple if it's going to grow at 6-7% into perpetuity or over the long term. But I suppose you could interpret the current share price as investors saying, I think that the South African economy is going to bounce back, perhaps not as soon as we first thought, but it will. And when that happens, retailers like Mr. Price are perfectly placed to take advantage of that.
Is there any more about, you know, H&M, they had to have like a huge sell-off of a whole bunch of products.
Yes.
Anthea brought up a story. See, it was a staggering amount, like, value of clothes they just basically got to just try and get rid of.
I can't remember what
but,
it
like,
was.
But, like, something that would essentially have a bit of an effect on Mr. Price, right?
So, yes, my understanding with H&M is that's a multi-year issue of excess stock. And right. It's partially driven by them really being affected by the rise of online. So they haven't adapted as quickly as some of their Inditex, for example, which owns Zara, has been much better at coming to terms with online and having a good strategy.
Okay. All right. And then we spoke about Apple before you sat down here. What's your take with how these new products are going to affect things?
Well, I think it's fascinating because, I mean, Apple obviously is the luxury part of the smartphone market. Their average selling price is around $800, and you have phones now coming out at $300 with, in some cases, relatively similar capabilities. And so the way Apple's really succeeded is they've positioned themselves as that premium product, and they just, at this point, they're not growing the units or the amounts of iPhones that they're selling. It's just the average selling price. And so with the introduction of, most recently, the iPhone X at $1,000, people are willing to pay up. You could argue it's for the brand or it's for the...
Sure, exactly what it is. And I think the innovation. They unashamedly say so.
Yeah, yeah. And we're all willing to pay up for it. So it seems with this new launch and the introduction of the new iPhones, that top end of the pricing range might get extended even more.
Well, you know what's going to happen. They're basically going to give you the iPhone XL. It'll be an inch bigger.
And you need to have it, of course.
And they'll be like, oh, Apple fans will be like, oh, I think of everything.
Yeah.
All I wanted was just a slightly bigger screen for the same product.
Innovation at its best. Yeah. Look at them.
So three new models are expected to hit the market.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then finally, Amazon is heading towards $1 trillion.
Yes. Yeah, so we had Apple hitting $1 trillion recently, and they've actually added another 100 billion since then. So they're at roughly 1.1 trillion. And now we have Amazon at...
Just let that sink in for a moment.
I know, it's especially when you compare it to the companies we have on the JSE, it's quite mind-boggling. And now we have Amazon at about $980 billion. So they need to move 2% higher this week to reach $1 trillion. They've been under quite a bit of attack from different political sources. We've had Bernie Sanders attacking them for allegedly not paying enough wage, in his opinion.
Is Bernie still going?
Still going on Twitter.
So I thought Hillary snuffed him out.
Still going strong, yeah. And we have President Trump also attacking Amazon on Twitter, perhaps for more personal reasons.
Why? Because his delivery arrived late.
That and the fact that... Mr. Bezos owns the Washington Post, which has sometimes been critical of his presidency. But it's just astonishing that, I guess, the rate at which these technology companies have been able to attack some of these markets. I mean, we have Facebook and Alphabet, which owns Google, attacking the online advertising market, the likes of Amazon attacking the retail market. And it's just showing in these market cap appreciation numbers.
Yeah, that Bezos is pretty rich, huh? He owns, what, 16% of Amazon?
Yeah, it comes to about $160 billion.
So quite simply, when you see Amazon getting to a trillion, he's 16% of that trillion.
Yeah, it won't be a bad day for him.
It hasn't been far from it.
But I always find it so funny with guys like Jeff Bezos. There'll be a headline saying, Bezos loses $100 million. And it's like the share price literally just went,
Yeah.
And the next day, Bezos makes billions of dollars.
We have no sympathy for these people. Look, they've worked hard, they deserve it, but don't think we're going to feel bad for you, really.
I think he's doing okay.
Yeah, I'll be all right.
More than
so okay. Wait, sorry, hang on.
That's it.
Outro music. So, Leo, thanks for coming through.
It's been a pleasure.
Staying in for Anthea today.
Got your dose of Drake, got your dose of finance updates. What more do you really want?
You know what's really embarrassing? I've been playing a cover of the song the whole time. Oh. Next time. We'll nail this. It's going to be amazing.
Next
time. Oh, Ben.
That was the first hour of the show today from the 3rd of September, 2018. If you're listening into the future and this everything that Salehe just said is now tanked completely, well, that's time for you. We'll get into the second hour next. If you want to be part of the show today, then just give a call. Nola, what's the number there? Oh, Nola's being harassed by Salehe now.
She was not being harassed.
What's the number we can get hold of? People get hold of us today, Nola. Okay,
0861-555-189.
Why am I the bad guy here?
Yes, or you can Skype Cliff Central Studio if you want to contact us on Skype. Yeah. And our WhatsApp line, Ben?
The scripts, yeah.
0797482090.
CliffCentral.com.